You are listening to the Mission Matters Podcast Network, where we amplify the stories of entrepreneurs, executives, and experts.
Hi, everyone. Long versus short. This is podcast number 36. This is Paul Lang from Discipline Trading Strategies. I hope you're enjoying all these podcasts. This is about what matters in trading and investing. I probably haven't mentioned this is my first podcast, and maybe you don't read the sites ever, but just a quick reminder, I've been in the markets for over 20 years, and I've been teaching people for a good part of that time. I originally was with a large company a few years ago. I went off and started my own company, Discipline Trading Strategies, in August of 2017. My purpose was to just have fun doing this, and I do. I enjoy both day trading and long-term investing, and I enjoy teaching people how to do it. I do what I teach, and I teach what I do is what I like to tell people. And I've been enjoying these podcasts. I can't believe number 36 will be on a year pretty soon. And these are all usually about 20 minutes long, and they're all quick little one-hit topics. And I think a lot of these topics are very important because I've had the unique opportunity to work with an awful lot of people. I myself came up from not being in the market. I was somebody who didn't know a stock from a bond when I started myself, so I understand what a lot of people go through. To be honest with you, if you listen to some of my other podcasts, the most difficult people to train are people who have been in the market to some degree, stockbrokers, that type of thing, because they're not really tuned into what matters. Technical analysis, reading a chart, is the only way to make money for 99.99% of the people, unless you have a huge amount of money to dedicate to doing your own independent research. It makes no sense to go out on the internet and read what everyone else has read and then claim people are wrong. This is all subject matter from prior podcasts that you can listen to, but I just want to give you a quick little history there since we're on number 36 here and explain that these are all quick little one-hit topics. And if you want a lot more information, you can always visit my website, Discipline Trading Strategies. I have a great free stuff page there where you can get a lot of great information. And you're always free to email me, to chat with me, to talk about whatever you want to. So let's get on with this topic today, long versus short. There's a whole lot to go over here, and I want to take it from the very beginning through the very end, from the very novice to the very advanced, because this is one of these topics that's always amazed me. From the very beginning, I've run into people all the time that don't even know that you can short stocks. I used to have a guy I ran with every morning, and he was a smart guy, had his own business, and he had mutual funds, that type of thing. When I told him we were shorting stocks, he didn't understand. He thought I was joking. He thought it was a joke. He didn't understand it. And as I run into people, I hear a lot of ridiculous comments. So let's begin. What is short selling? Well, short selling is when you make money on a stock when it declines in price, when it falls. The average person is not used to this because you never hear people talk about it. When you meet and you talk with somebody about your portfolio and you say that you have Microsoft and Tesla, nobody asks you if you're long or short. You just assume that you're long. And that does make sense because in the long haul, the market is up much more than it's down price-wise. The market is up much more than it's down time-wise. So it makes sense to be that for the average person. However, it is very important that you do have short selling as part of your tool belt. I'll explain why. What happens technically, you don't really even need to know this, but just so you understand what technically happens is when you go to short a stock, what happens is you sell it first. So when you put an order to short sell, let's say you're going to short sell Tesla, what happens is the order goes to your broker who borrows the stock for you and then gives you the stock that you sell first. So you sell it at X price and then later in the day, later in the week, month later, whatever it is, depending upon how long you're holding it, you buy it back, hopefully at a cheaper price, which means you make money. And then when you buy the stock back, it gets returned to your broker. Now, that transaction or borrowing happens in a millisecond. It's all computerized. You don't even know it's happening. Basically, what you care about if you're day trading, you hit the button to short sell at X price. You hope it drops $2. You bought it, you shorted 1,000 shares and you made $2,000. That's the way that it works. It's exactly the same as being long, except in reverse. A couple other technicalities first. Strategically, there's no difference between being long and being short. In other words, I teach technical analysis, every long strategy, the complementary strategy is your short strategy. If we have some kind of buy setup strategy on support somewhere, there's also a sell setup strategy at resistance. Just flip it over, mirror image, it's the same thing. There's never a difference strategically. There is a difference, however, in how the trade plays out. I'll get back to that in just a minute, but it's one of the key advantages of being short. But let's get back to some of the technical differences. There's two other things you have to be aware of, and that is number one, sometimes you won't be able to short a stock. When you hit the button to short sell, you get a message back saying, sorry, security not borrowable, or whatever your platform may say. And what that means is, since you have to borrow the stock first, it means that your broker did not have that stock in inventory to lend to you. So that can happen sometimes. It can happen with stocks that are really in high demand. It can happen with some stocks that you're not allowed to short. There's some rules about IPOs, and when stocks reach a certain price, sometimes you can't short them. So sometimes you'll see that message. And sometimes you'll get a message that says to call your broker, and it may be available, but you have to request it. And in some cases, it may be available, but you have to pay for it, usually not a large amount. Because it has to be borrowed first, you can run into that problem that if it's not borrowable, you can't short. That doesn't happen a whole lot, but it can happen. It doesn't happen a whole lot if you trade normal stocks. If you go after these crazy little things, you're going to run into that a lot because there are a lot of the ones that are not borrowable and therefore not shortable. The second issue is, and it's kind of a quirky little thing, if you've been around for a while, you've heard of this, it's called the short sale rule. The short sale rule has a long history. When I first started trading, it was a very common thing. As a matter of fact, it was a standard that you could not short a stock unless it was on an uptick. What that means is that the bid, in order for you to short sell, had to rise a penny for you to short sell into that. Now, if you own the stock and you were going to sell what you had, you can just sell into the bid. It doesn't matter if it's falling or rallying. But they came out with this rule that said if you're shorting the stock as an opening transaction, that you had to get the bid on an uptick. It's called the uptick rule. And just for terminology, when you enter a position short, you are short selling the stock or selling the stock short or just shorting. When you exit a short, you're buying the stock to cover or covering. Make sure you use the right terms. Buying a stock is not really the right term to end because buying implies you're starting a long position. Covering is what you do when you end a short sale. But back to the short sale rule, over time, it kind of faded away. They did a test to get rid of it on some stocks, and then they got rid of it for the whole market. And then it came back on a few stocks. And then they came up with this rule that it's only going to apply for stocks that fall a certain percentage. Then they're going to restrict it. So right now, that's where we are. I haven't run into a short sale rule in forever because I don't chase crazy stocks. So I haven't seen it in as long as I can remember. But you could run into a rule where if it drops a certain percentage, I don't know what it is, that the short sale rule will apply, the uptick rule will apply, and you can only short if the stock, you know, rallies back a penny into you, then you can short into that. The idea was to, quote unquote, protect, you know, a runaway falling market. It's really kind of a stupid rule, in my opinion. A lot of rules in the market are stupid rules. If you have a short sale rule, there's no reason you shouldn't have a long purchase rule. If the market's running away to the upside, why don't we contain that also? Well, because everybody's bullish and everybody owns stocks more than short, at least on the retail level. So that's there to protect some of the retail clients. But all of that doesn't matter a whole lot. Just a little history for you. Bottom line right now, basically, if you want to short a stock, you just hit the short sale button. You're short, and then you want the stock to drop, and you make money just like when you go long. Let me move on to two ridiculous comments that you may hear. And I used to think these were just things from the past, but ignorance still abounds. Some people have told me that even in the recent, just months, just now, recently, people still said this to them. Some brokers will tell you that it's dangerous to short stocks because if you go long a stock at $50, let's say, it can only go to zero. If you short a stock at 50, it can go to infinity. Well, that's pure ignorance talking. Yeah, mathematically, it's true, but it's ridiculous. Nobody's going to be in a stock from 50 to zero, and nobody's going to be in a stock from 50 to a million. Now, maybe the only little word of caution I would take from that is not to be goofing around with crazy stocks. You don't want to be playing crazy little biotech stocks and shorting a $2 biotech stock because, yeah, maybe they cure cancer tomorrow and then you got a big loss on your hands. But it works both ways. And it's kind of crazy to say that, you know, something that's never going to happen could theoretically be an infinity move against you. Well, it's not going to happen. It's not something to worry about. You go long, you go short, you put in your protective stops. Naturally, something could gap the next day or whatever, and you have to adjust, but it can happen in both directions. Let me tell you, you're much more likely in general to be caught holding the basket, so to speak, on something you're long that gaps down than the other way around. That's usually the way you get in more trouble. Number two, the other silly, crazy thing that you hear is that it's un-American to short stocks. This is ignorance talking. And I've even heard people in Congress discussing rules, and the people making the rules don't even understand how the market works. It's absolutely incredible to listen to some of the comments. But when you short a stock, number one, you're not selling it back to the company. So this concept that you're driving the company bankrupt by shorting the stock is insane. The company doesn't buy your stock back. It's sold in the open market. Number two, there is no secret government warehouse where they take all the short sold stocks and stack them up in some warehouse. And then someday it's going to explode or whatever people are afraid of. I really don't know. Here's what happens. When you go to short sale a stock, you borrow the stock and then you sell it. You know who you sell it to? You sell it to somebody who's anxious, willing, and desirous to buy that stock from you. That's what happens. It's no different than when you sell stock that you own. You had to borrow the stock, so it's a fixed universe of stock. What some people discuss is the concept of naked short selling, which is not allowed. It's illegal. If you were allowed to short stock without borrowing it, that would really create a derivative situation, like an option where you are now creating more stock than what's there, and that could become a problem, but that's not what's allowed. You have to borrow the stock in order to short it. It's a fixed universe that you're working in. There is no concept of it being dangerous to the stock or un-American, as some people say. Hey, you're here to make money. You're here to make money. If things are falling, you want to be short. If some idiot is still long when things are falling, that's his problem. It's not your problem. So let's talk about why you want to short if the market is up more than it's down. Well, number one, let's talk long-term. Let's take the big picture. Sure, you want to be long a lot more than you're short. And when you really want to be long and focus on being long is after a bear market. You go back to 2002, you go back to 2009. Those are the times you want to load up. In 2009, I said when the bottom hit, and I was a week off from the bottom, that we would be in a decade-long rally. Well, it's been more than a decade now. And that's when you really want to focus long in the long-term account. But there's times you don't. And that is, for example, if you were long in 2001, it took you 17 years in the NASDAQ to get your money back. That's not acceptable to me. It should not be acceptable to you to have to wait 17 years to get back to zero. So number one, we need to know when to short. So at the very least, we know when maybe we should exit our longs. And if you can't or don't want to exit your longs for tax purposes or it's company stock or whatever, you want to offset that with some short positions so that you're making money on the way down. Yes, even in the long-term picture. And even though the long-term picture may be up, I make a lot of money in what I call the midterm picture by shorting those little pullbacks sometimes. You can be in a long-term bullish market, but we may fall for, you know, several months, you know, even in a bull market, or at least several weeks. And if you can catch those tops, which is not hard to do, despite what people on TV say, yes, you can catch tops. It's fairly easy to find sometimes. Sometimes they're not, but many times they are. And then you can short that decline. It may involve selling what you have. It may involve shorting additional things. So even a long-term picture is something that we want to be aware of. Now, like I said in my very first podcast, if you are somebody who at the beginning at a young age, you just started averaging into the stock market and you've done that since the beginning of time, that's great. That's one way to do it. Just hang on. But number one, you're probably not listening to me. And number two, that's only about 6% of the country that's done that. Everyone else is scrambling to try and make some money. And if you're trying to get in and out a little more agile, and if you got in late, you can't get in at the end of a bull market and sit here and then live through a 17-year period of time to get your money back. So you have to be agile, even in the long term. And we're in that area now where you don't want to be starting to dollar cost average in. You want to be getting in the market as a casual long-term player when everyone on TV is telling you to never go into the market again, when there's blood in the streets. That is a very good expression. Let's talk about day trading. For day trading, shorting is an absolute mandatory, necessary tool that you have to have, period. Day trading, the bias changes much quicker. Remember, even in an uptrend, we could, in a very bullish daily chart, we could pull back 3 or 4 days before we rally again. As a day trader, what do? You just keep going long and lose money during those days? No, we find areas and pockets where you get short. Now, here's what I want to discuss. I mentioned earlier that there's a huge advantage to being short. Technically, it's the same as being long from a strategic point of view from what you do on a chart, but there is one difference and one advantage. And that is very simply, stocks drop faster than they rally. They fall faster than they rally. I don't need to prove that to you. Go look at the charts. Look at periods of decline, and stocks will often drop in one day. They'll drop 2 weeks worth of rally. In 1 week, they'll give up 3 months worth of rally. It happens all the time. So it does two things. You get money faster, which is nice, but it's also much easier to manage things when they are falling, because when you're on the way up, a lot of times things are kind of jerky. They come up, they pull back hard, they go up, they pull back hard. And a lot of times people get taken out of positions. It's very common for somebody, even in a long-term account, to end up with not a lot of long positions at the end of a bull market because they got taken out of a lot of stuff. In a bear market or just in any time that we're falling, things drop very quickly. And it's hard to mismanage them because they drop very clean, they fall, there's little pullbacks, and then they drop again. So there's big advantages to being short. As a matter of fact, here's what I teach my students. In a very bullish environment, you want to be bullish. In a very bearish environment, you want to be bearish. And in a sideways, choppy, sloppy market, you have two choices. You can stand aside. Some people say that. I don't think that's the right answer. Sloppy, choppy markets are actually my favorite time to be trading, especially day trading, because you want to always short rallies. You never buy pullbacks in a sloppy, choppy market. It's gravity. Things fall faster. Short those rallies. You'll be way better off. As proof of that, this first quarter, the results of the DTS trading room are out there. And for the first quarter, even though it was a bullish environment, I made more money short than long. A lot of times it's simply easier to pinpoint the top of a rally. So a stock opens, it shoots up in the morning. Sometimes it's hard to find the entry long. When you understand strategies and techniques that we do, it's not just a matter of saying, oh, is the stock going higher? You have to find a way to get in. You have to find a way to have a stop loss that's going to take you out if you're wrong. And you have to then be able to find that target area. And sometimes that rally is hard to grab. But what is easy sometimes, even in a bull market, is the thing rallies into an area where you know that's the high for the day. So if you short the high for the day, you can't lose money. You don't always know that, but theoretically, that's what happens and you short the high. And a lot of times, even in a bull market, that high is easier to find than the low, just the way the market works. So being well-versed on how to short and shorting stocks is a necessary tool that you need to have as a day trader. I feel it's a necessary tool you need to have even as a long-term investor. Even though the market's up a lot more than it's down, and you certainly don't want to be anticipating bear markets, it's a necessary tool to have as a day trader every day, and it's a necessary tool to have long-term when it's appropriate. In the notes, I just put an example of a recent trade of the week. Last couple of weeks were bullish trade of the week, but going back a couple of weeks, there was a bearish one. There's a chart in there, and you just get an idea of the numbers, and there's arrows on there that just give you an indication. It was a short that we shorted something, it ran into a resistance area, and then it rolls over, and you're making money as the stock falls. So there's a quick little chart there for you to look at. And as I mentioned, if you visit the DTS website, you'll get a lot more information. You can see a lot of the trade of the week videos, and you can see some of the short selling that we do. Naturally, we're both long and short. It depends what the day calls for. It depends what the individual stock calls for. As usual, I hope you're enjoying these. They come out every Thursday. If you like them, be sure to subscribe so you can get notified of the new podcasts that come out. Until next time, this is Paul for DTS. Good trading, everybody.
This has been a Mission Matters Network production. Listen to this show and browse our entire catalog by visiting missionmatters.com.